This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top of the morning. Happy Tuesday. We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. Kedrick Golston spent a decade with the Redskins. Does he think veteran players should show up at OTAs? What does he make of the injury to Reuben Foster? He'll be on the show at 11 o'clock. Sean Doolittle, closer, Nationals at 11:45 today. Of course, we're giving away Nats tickets, as we do each and every day at 12:55. And in the final hour of the show, we will get the latest on day two of Redskins OTAs from our pal Chris Russell. All coming up on Grant and Danny. Quick tip of the cap to the Golden State Warriors.
Yes, they did it.
Portland Trailblazers are very good, and they played a pretty good series, and it didn't matter, and that was without Kevin Durant. Five straight finals appearances. I know a lot of people are bothered by that and annoyed and frustrated. I'm not. I like watching the Warriors. I wanted to see them in the finals. It'll be cool to see them win another championship. My only question is whether or not Kevin Durant's going to help them do so. But they're going to win. There's not a team in the East. Toronto, Milwaukee, all apologies. You're not beating Golden State.
So many double-digit deficits overcome in a matter of minutes. It really is incredible. It became dramatic. That's not even the right word. It became, to me, much more worth watching once Durant went down. I don't root for him to be hurt. Obviously, that's not fun. Hope he comes back and he's fine. But I got intrigued once he went down. I said, now let's see them do kind of this thing to overcome Houston again. Now I want to see Draymond Green getting triple doubles. Now I want to see, you know, Kevin Looney or Jordan Bell or a bunch of guys that would stink everywhere else, but they're on Golden State, so they're great. Now I want to see it. Because I've been turned off, honestly, by just their dominant success. It's not their fault. They're playing within the rules. Most of their guys are homegrown. Durant's the only kind of rogue agent that made his name elsewhere. They're awesome. And that was fun last night, I will say.
I've never watched sports before for 75 or 80% of a game knowing that nothing happening is mattering because eventually a team's going to win.
You know it.
They're down 17. Who cares? They're down 7 to 10 points early fourth quarter. So what?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to win this game. I don't remember ever being that sure about teams that trail at any point. They're that great. One other note real quick before we get to Reuben Foster on the Nats. We'll make this very quick. I do want to get an Anthony Rendon with you, who's sticking to the pan hot, 7-game hitting streak, 12 for his last 25. He needs to be re-signed.
He's their offense.
Home runs each of the last two games. Patrick Corbin had an uncharacteristically off outing yesterday, and that did them in. Great sign that the bullpen was good for a day. Tanner Rainey, who came up from the minor leagues, throwing 99. Fun to watch. We'll see if he can become a fixture in the middle relief portion of their pen. But the Nats lost a game to a team that was on the verge of firing a manager and had just been swept by the Marlins.
Yeah, the Mets came in and said, we're dysfunctional. The Nats said, with all due respect, we're dysfunctional. And they won.
Bottom of the hour at 10:30, we can get into Rendon and whether you want to lock him up or whether he should be dangled as a trade commodity. But right now, let's get to Reuben Foster. Out for the season. We now know he tore his ACL. It actually could be worse than that. There was reporting being done yesterday by NFL Network that said maybe there's artery damage. Maybe there's more to this than just the torn ACL for Reuben Foster. So the question's not, is he going to play this year? He's out for the season. The question is now, does he play again? It seems like a devastating injury. This was Jay Gruden right after practice yesterday, and this was even before he knew exactly what had happened.
We have to move on. We have to get guys ready to play that are here. We have to do the best we can to get Reuben healthy again and move on. We can't stop practice and not practice because of these injuries. We still have to practice, evaluate our players, and work on our crafts. In order to do that, we have to do some of these drills. So I wish I had the answer for you. You know, sometimes I wish we do just all walkthroughs and then go play on Sundays, but we got to practice.
The scene yesterday was sad, really. Foster, in his first rep on the third snap of day one of OTAs, going to the ground. And the video last night was just tough to watch. He's slamming the ground with his fist, writhing in pain. You could even hear him audibly on some of these videos posted on social media, screaming, crying. Gruden saying that he was absolutely beside himself.
He's devastated. You know, he's you know, he was obviously very guarded right now. He felt something happen in his leg. We don't know what it is yet. Hopefully it's, like I said, we got to get all the tests back, but he's very upset about it. There's not a lot of talk going on. He was pretty hurt.
I know fans are doing the we're cursed thing, and I don't believe in jinxes or curses. I understand your frustration, though. I understand how maddening these injuries are as they stockpile against the Redskins. If you're Jay Gruden, at some point you sit down in your office last night. You get back. You sit down at your desk. Maybe someone brings you in a little snack. You know, someone brings you in a little food. And you got to be going, what on earth can I do to just get a shot with a healthy roster? One practice in. Three snaps in. And so it begins for the most injured team in the league the last 2 years.
I don't know. It's a third play. It's a jog-through type, tempo-type play. It's just we're working on nakeds and keepers, faking the outside zone and running a keeper. And Ruben just ran through, just kind of three-quarter speed, landed on a foot and got his knee tangled up. I don't know how to process it, really. We've had some bad luck over here for the last couple of years, but this one here takes the cake because this was a non-contact drill, and there was really no contact involved in it. He just landed funny.
You just sit down in a closed room and say, what the bleep? And then that bleep is the loudest bleep that anyone's ever yelled. And then you come back out and say, yeah, what's going on, guys? How you doing? I would be beyond exasperated if I'm Jay Gruden.
It's a non-contact drill.
It's a non-contact drill.
He stepped on Tyler Catalina's foot. His knee exploded.
There are freak things that occur, and that happens, and it stinks. There's nothing okay about it. There's nothing that's preventable about it. That's not one of the things that you should be examining about best practices. That is a freak occurrence. That's the, I'm sitting at home and a car crashes through my front door and you dislocate your ankle. Well, there's nothing you could do about that.
It's nobody's fault. Right? Yesterday, you're advocating blowing out the whole training
and they
staff.
Still should, by the way, this morning. Pink slips. If you have grass, do turf. If you practice at 9 in the morning, practice at 9 at night. Everything should be panicked. Everyone should be doing everything differently. Don't hire consultants to come in and look at your operation and say everything's okay. It's not.
Don't step on a foot and hurt your knee. Danny's firing the training staff.
This is nobody's fault. You can have that be true and also say, we need to try something else and be desperate to avoid these things. Be more desperate. Panic. Panic at the appropriate level. Panic the way fans are panicked. Panic the way that every organization who would have a fraction of what has happened to you over the last couple years, where Trey Quinn played two games and then all of a sudden couldn't manage a walkthrough beyond that. Or Jameson Crowder was out with a little cramp in his calf for 7 weeks. Whatever it is that you're doing doesn't work. It's broken. It's wrong. Try. And if that doesn't work, try something else. You can't sit by and let this happen again. It's already started. This one is a freak thing. The same way that Chris Thompson getting hurt was a freak thing when Kirk Cousins and a defender in New Orleans rolled up on him and then three guys got hurt on the same play and it stunk. That's a freak thing. Freak things will happen. You have to try something. You just have to.
Yeah, and I think that they have been trying things. They've invested millions of dollars into their facility. They actually just gave a tour to the Associated Press in a piece that was published yesterday on all of the new equipment and all the things that they've sunk money into and all of the classes and the things that they put their staff through to get to a point where they're keeping up with the Benjamins. I'm not really sure what else you could do. This is football happening. This is bad luck. I don't want anyone to panic. I don't want to meet the panic of the fan base. I want to act as if. I want to make sure that you do everything you can to keep as many guys healthy as possible. I think this was just a, for lack of a better phrase, a really bad break for them. And it stinks. Here's the question, though, and we can open up the Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines on this for you next. Redskins fans, chime in here. We're going to get to Anthony Rendon in a contract extension conversation that we want to have at 10:30. But here's the question we're going to answer next, and we'll get the phones and your opinions on this as well. How much does the loss of Reuben Foster actually matter to the Redskins defense? He's never played a down for this team. They were decent without him last year. They just go back to the two guys that were starting at the end of last season as if nothing ever happened. His loss, what kind of impact will it have on the Redskins defense? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan.
Hey, guys. Danny Ruya here for my pals at Tedbert Ford. I love these guys. Got a special congratulations for them as well. Normally, we're not congratulating people in REITs, but this is a big deal. 60 years. Happy anniversary to Tedbert Ford. 60 years they have been serving D.C., Maryland, Virginia. They're in Fairfax. They're in Chantilly. Click away at Tedbert.com. They didn't have the website when they first started, but they still persevered anyway. Here's what they've done for 60 years. Giving you great deals on awesome cars and giving you great customer service. You can buy a car at a lot of places. You can lease cars from a lot of places. You can do weird transactions where you look up Carfax on the internet and you go meet some CD guy in some neighborhood and you exchange a cashier's check. It's your right. Do what you want. Go to a dealership. You go to a place where they sell brand new Fords, and they give you a great deal on your trade-in, 120% Kelley Blue Book value for your trade-in, in fact. And you'll get great customer service. Lifetime guarantees. You understand that? They make customers happy. They know that's the best way for you to want to come back. It's why I'm going back when I need a new car. Tedbert for life. It's lifetime vehicle coverage. You've got to go see them as they celebrate 60 years. The summer of 60 event's going on right now. You got to go see them, as I said, Fairfax and Chantilly. When you go, tell them Danny said.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Kedrick Golston, longtime Redskins on the show at 11. We'll ask him about practicing during the offseason when things weren't mandatory, what kind of concern he had about potentially risking injury and whether or not veteran players who have been around for a while should go to OTAs. That's coming up in about 40 minutes on Grant and Danny. Reuben Foster went down yesterday. His first snap as a Redskin, third snap overall in the organized team activities. His season is done, and perhaps beyond that, we're waiting word on just how much damage was done other than just the torn ACL. For the 25-year-old, 800-636-1067 is the number. How much of a hit did the Redskins' defense take losing a guy in Foster who was going to be a starter but who had not played a down in Washington before? And remember, in two seasons, Danny, 16 games, it's been a mixed bag at best for him in San Francisco. He was benched and then released primarily because of off-field issues, but he didn't necessarily give them what they wanted on the field as well. I just go back to his college career, though. 6'2", 229, considered one of the best prospects in the defensive side of the draft in 2017. Was the Butkus Award winner for the best linebacker in college at Alabama. I looked up his numbers that year. 115 tackles, 13 for loss, 5 sacks. Was the MVP of the SEC title game with 11 stops, 2.5 in the backfield and 2 sacks that day. He's fast. He's athletic. He's everything in the Redskins linebacking core they've needed. For me, I think their ceiling got a lot lower.
That's what it is to me, is the ceiling got lower. I don't know how productive he was going to be. You had hope. You had the sort of where rubber meets the road of scouting, right, where you watch a high school kid hit a ball, right, as a baseball player, and you go, one day he'll be in the major leagues doing that same thing. And you watch him strike out 1,000 times in the minors. And you go, well, one day it's going to happen. It didn't happen just yet in San Francisco. It hadn't happened where he played at the level that people saw when they would scout him in college. But the ceiling is still there, in my opinion, despite the ankle injury, despite the rib injury when he came back, despite all the off-field crap that he got, that he's responsible for, by the way, got himself into bad situations. You still saw that high ceiling. And so I think that's the perfect phrase to describe it, is their ceiling got lower on defense.
And he was not a sure thing, right?
That's the point, right?
He could have been not good for them. He could have been what he was in San Francisco, which was a guy in your linebacking core.
Yeah, that they were fed up with and benched.
But your potential took a huge hit.
Yes, that's what
how
it is.
Good you could have possibly been lowered, because if Reuben Foster got to a point where he was playing at max capacity and you were getting 100% of his potential, it is a lot higher than Mason Foster at his best, Sean Dion Hamilton at his best, Cole Holcomb at his best. Your entire linebacking core, everyone maxes out. Foster is the best player by far. And I think that's the hit that they're going to take. But he's never played a down. You just revert back to what you had before him. Could be a lot worse. Dan in Fairfax, you're on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hey, guys.
Hey, buddy.
I think we need to focus on the positives. I mean, we got Dwayne Haskins, Montez Sweat, Darius Geis will be back, Adrian Peterson. We got a couple of new receivers in the draft. I don't think we have to be so negative all the time. What? We really don't know how good Reuben Foster is going to be, and it's a next man up mentality. And who's to say Mason Foster is not going to be better this year? You got to have that never give up attitude, relentless, like Howie Long said. Yeah, I like that word.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Look, there are things to like about this team. I mean, the news of the day is yesterday they lost one of their starters for the season during organized team activities. I don't think it's negative. I think we're reacting to what happened. You went from potentially having a Pro Bowl caliber linebacker at his best to two guys that aren't that, particularly in Mason Foster's case. Now you say, well, why couldn't he have a career year? He could. He's 30. He's been playing for closer to a decade than being a rookie. Generally, guys don't just become something new after some of the speed and athleticism tools are diminished over the last couple of years. Kyle in Fairfax, how's it going?
Good, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, buddy.
I kind of agree with you guys. You got to rule out the Redskins becoming an elite defense. And if you look at their defense last year, you know, the front defensive line, and that includes, you know, Kerrigan and Preston Smith and Ryan Anderson, even at their best, there were those games where they got exposed by the Falcons for a ton of rushing yards. And Ezekiel Elliott the second time, Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and you were kind of hoping that Reuben Foster would help put the kibosh to that on the second level, and that was a lot of the reason Zach Brown's not here. I also think it's important that look at the offseason trail and what the Redskins thought about middle linebacker. They were in a bidding war for the Jets, for C.J. Mosley, and a lot of the reporters that covered your show never ruled out Devin Bush or Devin White as a selection to the Redskins until the Steelers traded up. So what does that tell you? They think it's a hole, and I think that the Redskins are going to suffer a little bit at that position, but I still think they have a chance to be a top 12 unit, but I don't think top 5 is in question anymore.
Thank you, buddy.
And that's kind of going to that ceiling conversation. I don't think it's realistic to expect them to be an elite defense because of their secondary, not because of the injury yesterday, frankly. You can have Reuben Foster, and let's say you get perfect production from him that was far exceeding that of what he gave San Francisco. You still have Josh Norman, who's toward the end of his career playing opposite an injury-prone guy in Quentin Dunbar and Fabian Moreau in the slot. I mean, they're secondary where they don't have two starting safeties. They have one. It's just not good enough to be elite. But where their defense, I think, is going to be very solid, and they'll have a chance to win football games by holding teams to 17, 18, 19 points on average.
When it works, yeah.
Jonathan Allen, Daron Payne, Matt Ioannidis up front with Tim Settle and Caleb Brantley. That defensive line has a chance to be excellent. As a starting point now, your floor is middle of the pack, probably. You add to that Ryan Kerrigan, who's going to finish in the top 5 in the conference in sacks and play 16 games, ideally. He does that every year. Montez Sweat, I'm very, very high on. Maybe I'm overrating him some, but I think he could go give you 8.5-9 sacks as a rookie. You didn't have that from Preston Smith. That's twice what he gave you last year. So the front seven, even after losing Foster, is still a strength.
Still a strength, I would say.
The problem is at the inside linebacking core, you got an issue right now.
So to the caller's point, I was reminded of our buddy Rich Tandler, who of course passed last year, but he had a great axiom that he used to kind of go with. Don't worry about what they say, watch what they do. Meaning about what they think of their own players and their own positions. And I think it was a great point that the caller made about they were shopping. They were trying to upgrade this spot. They were desperate for it. That's why they were perfectly willing to take whatever hit came along with it by jumping at the chance to claim Reuben Foster on waivers. They've been trying to fix this spot. And I don't know that they felt great about it just yet, but they felt it was a weakness.
Jacob, Spotsylvania, you're on Grant and Danny.
Hi. I think... Well, it reminds me of Junior Gallette trying to make his comeback, and we were all excited for him. And then this devastating injury happens, and, you know, and kind of that's that, and it sucks. But Junior Gallette wasn't really all that. I think we had more eggs in the Reuben Foster basket. We were kind of counting on him more, but we don't really know what we lost, really. I don't know. I hope it's not that big of a blow and we can find a way to replace him pretty good. But, I mean, it just sucks.
Yeah, there's shades of Gallette all over this. It's very, very similar. And I love what the point he makes, too. There were a lot of eggs in that basket that hadn't hatched yet. We're just assuming they all would have been these cute little chickens. Nobody knows what Reuben Foster was going to be. That's got to be remembered here. And it's got to be noted that he just wasn't that good for 2 years in San Francisco. But the chance was, at 11:37 yesterday in the morning, we were saying, who are the most important Redskins? I put him as one of my three most important players in helping them overachieve.
20 minutes later, he was on the deck.
Sorry. I'll take the blame for that one, I guess. Anthony Rendon is killing National League pitching right now. He ranks in the top three in just about every category on offense if he had enough at-bats to qualify. And he's, after last night, homered in consecutive games. Is it time to lock him up for the Nationals even while they're scuffling? Next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
According to Mike Garofolo of NFL Media, Julian Edelman is finalizing a multi-year extension with the New England Patriots. Edelman, a playoff hero for many years in New England, was outstanding in the postseason this past year. I remembered him having a great playoff run. I didn't remember it being this prolific. They beat the Chargers 41-28 in their first game, round two. 9 catches for 151 yards. The next week, he was very quiet against the Chiefs, only had 7 grabs for 96 yards.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's really, I remember being pretty good. You got me there.
And then in the Super Bowl against the Rams, 10 for 141 in a game where it was 13-3 and nobody could mount any offense. He was the best player on the field. Julian Edelman getting a deal with the New England Patriots, much deserved. One of those typical, they liked him more than everyone else, coming out of Kent State.
Quarterback at Kent State, I believe, yes.
They said, we'll make him a wide receiver, and it worked very well.
And I just know that if 28 teams probably drafted the quarterback out of Kent State to do something else, it just wouldn't work. They figure out a way to do it, man. Everybody should be doing everything they possibly can to copy what's copyable. You can't just replicate Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. That's very hard. What you can do is what they do with manipulating the compensatory draft pick system. You can manipulate future draft currency, et cetera, the way that they do. They're the best at it. And they're playing chess while everyone else is like setting up a checkerboard.
Anthony Rendon has been playing chess for years for the Washington Nationals. Are they going to be able to keep him? Are they going to lock him up? Those are really, to me, right now with the Nats season coming apart at the seams, the questions I care the most about with this baseball team right now. He's 28 years old. The 6th overall pick back in 2011 has become one of the better players in baseball. He's a career 287 hitter. Over the course of his career, an 840 OPS. Inexplicably has never been an all-star. That's one of the more misleading anecdotes you'll hear all day. He's incredible, and he's homered in consecutive games. Had a great run he scored last night on a really heads-up base running play, getting a read at second base. He's a sterling defender. There's nothing he can't do, and right now he's one of the few guys giving the Nats a shot every night.
The right-hander kicks and throws. And a swing and a drive belted to left center field. This one way back toward the wall, and it is gone. And Anthony Rendon has homered again. That's home run number 9. He continues to tear up Mets pitching. He's got the Nats on the board. It's now 4-1 in favor of the Mets as Rendon homers for the second straight game.
It was Jagler, as heard right here on 106.7 The Fan last night. The only amendment I'd make to what he said on a quality call is he's not just killing Mets pitching, he's killing all pitching.
Everybody.
He's hitting .342 on the season. Understand, that would be the second highest batting average in baseball behind Cody Bellinger if he qualified with ABs. He missed the better part of 3 weeks.
And he'll qualify in a couple weeks, basically.
.342 average, 9 homers. He's on pace for 31 jacks despite missing the better part of a month. His OPS is 1141. Get this. Everyone knows about Christian Yelich, who's probably going to win the MVP award for a second straight season. And Cody Bellinger is having a historical year with the Dodgers.
And it's ridiculous what he's doing.
Those two guys are the only players in the sport with better OPSs than Anthony Rendon right now. Over his last seven games in a seven-game hitting streak, he is 12 for 25 at the plate. And apropos of his entire career, it's completely getting overlooked for a few reasons. Number one, the Nationals aren't playing well. Number two, because, again, he doesn't have the quantifiable number of at-bats, we're at a point with Anthony Rendon where, until he gets there, no one's going to mention him with the league leaders. So this is kind of how his whole career has gone. But, Danny, it is time to lock Rendon up if they're going to do it.
It was time. I mean, it's been time. This is what I said. Now, right now, I mean, this is a very small sample size. There's 12 years and, you know, 5 months to go. But it's why I said the Nationals should have been more, I don't know, aggressive in trying to re-sign Bryce Harper. The idea that, well, we'll just re-sign Anthony Rendon. There are no guarantees there. There's no guarantee that it's all going to work out, right? We're just sort of counting, well, eventually they'll re-sign Trey Turner. Will they? I don't know. I don't know that. And the Price is Right is a great game show. We all know that. There's a Price is Right game where there's the mountain climber and there's that graph that goes up and you have to say stop and it goes, yoni, 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 and it keeps going up and the price keeps going up. Every homer, every night where he's the only reason to come to the ballpark and watch while Juan Soto is scuffling, while there's a fourth and fifth starters are scuffling, while the bullpen is igniting leads. He's making great plays at third base. Oh, by the way, a sterling defender, gold glove caliber. Won't get it because he plays in the same league as Nolan Arenado.
I got two guys better defensively in the whole sport than him. Arenado.
And Machado.
And I won't even put Machado above Machado's Rendon better? At this point. I think he makes more flashy plays.
I think
he's very good. I think Rendon probably makes more plays. The other guy's Matt Chapman from the Oakland A's.
No, Chapman's outstanding.
He's incredible. But bottom line is, he's one of the best defensive players in the sport. But I mentioned this on with the Junkies yesterday when I called in, and I wanted to throw this off of you. I was talking to someone about getting a deal done with Rendon with the ball club recently. And one of the things that they said was essentially when the Nolan Arenado deal got done, the thought was, well, now we kind of know how we could go about negotiating with Anthony Rendon, what the ceiling for a contract would look like, and it's going to make it more easy. I've thought since Arenado got his deal that Anthony Rendon was going to get a contract in Washington. He's not Bryce Harper. He's not a guy that's always just been in it for every penny. He's not a guy that was going to go to the highest bidder. I've never thought that. We sat down with him at spring training, and he said to us what he said to Nats reporters on the record for years, which was, I am not the same as some of these other guys. If I tell Scott Boras, get me a contract, he's got to get me a contract. He works for me, not vice versa. So I've always kind of felt like Rendon is more Strasburg than Harper. Strasburg, with Boras, got a deal for 7 and 175 done ahead of free agency to get extended and stay with Washington, whereas Harper left via free agency, as you all know. But here's something I heard from someone who recently talked to Scott Boras. So this is one lily pad connected to Boras. I didn't hear this directly from him. Apparently, he told that person that the Nationals already missed the boat on getting a deal done with Anthony Rendon.
That doesn't surprise me, honestly.
Now, that's up to Anthony Rendon, not Scott Boras. And I think that's probably an agent starting to float. And you're going to hear this, I'm sure. One of his guys who does all of his reporting, like John Heyman, will put out there soon enough. Anthony Rendon's going to hit free agency. But think about this. A team with immense money is the Texas Rangers. Anthony Rendon is from Texas. That would make a lot of sense. If I'm Scott Boras, I would want people to think it's too late. But he is at least already telling people the Nationals missed the boat.
Because everyone's going, oh, my God, look at what this guy's doing with this garbage lineup that, you know, the only regular that was designed to be in the lineup that's hitting over 270 is Adam Eaton. They can't score except for my client. So, yeah, the asking price is going up every day because if I'm on Rendon's side here, if I'm Scott Boras, I go, they're extra desperate. Or they better be. Because they just lost Bryce Harper. Everyone is furious at them for how bad this season has gone after last year's disappointment. Name the bright spots right now in the organization. The answer is Anthony Rendon. That's where it starts. They should be desperate to sign my guy. So here, so that's why I say, yoli, 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 yoli. The little mountain climber's going up.
If I'm the Nats, Grant Lerner, I'm putting a $250 million offer in front of the guy today. Here's the question I want you to answer next. We should pose this on the phones as well. What would it look like if he walked within a calendar year of Bryce walking?
Mm-hmm.
This is an organization that was a division winner year in and year out, a playoff team, precipice of a World Series run perhaps. And in a span of two off seasons, you could have lost your two best players.
Yep.
Rendon, to me, is a better all-around player than Bryce Harper at this point and is more important to keep in this organization. He's more beloved. He helps you. And I think that in more ways. And I think that the fact that Harper's already left only compounds how badly you need to keep Rendon.
Yes.
But I would wonder and worry about just the health of the fan base, baseball in D.C. as a growing entity and as this beloved organization, if the Lerner is allowed Anthony Rendon to walk. Now, there's another conversation to have, which is, if you know he's going to leave, do you trade him for a bunch of pieces at the deadline?
Because, by the way, where they're going this season, that's a legitimate conversation we should be having soon about who do you move on from and who do you keep.
But what would you think as a Nats fan if they didn't re-sign Anthony Rendon? If he is on another team next year, and in 2 years you've lost Harper and you've lost Rendon, and the history says already that this team just doesn't pay their own guys a lot of money. It's cool when you let Desmond and Jordan Zimmermann walk and those guys bottom out at their next stop. But when Harper goes on to win a division hitting 39 or 41 homers this year and is an MVP at some point in Philly, and Rendon leaves and, let's say, helps the Texas Rangers to an ALCS at some point, this is a different conversation now. These are MVP-caliber players we're talking about. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. One is upping his value on the open market as of this offseason. Just about every time he plays at this point. We're discussing his future with the Nationals and whether or not a deal has to be reached with him. You can give us a call at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Should let you know that 1 hour from now, Nats closer Sean Doolittle's on the show. 2 hours from now, at 12:55, you can win Nats tickets to see them take on the Marlins. They got to be listening at 12:55, and Kedrick Golston is with us, the longtime Redskin, to talk about OTAs after the Reuben Foster injury and how important they are for veterans in about 12 minutes. He's joining us at 11. Very simply, I think it would be disastrous for the Lerners if Anthony Rendon walks. It's one thing, and I think they made the right decision to have Bryce Harper leave. If you kept Harper and you let Rendon walk and you made that decision, that in and of itself we could have debated, but that too would have been acceptable.
Sure, that's a reasonable debate. And right now, again, they look smart for letting Harper go because he's not, you know, tearing the cover off the ball.
I think they made the right decision.
But that's a reasonable opinion. I have no problem with that. But my point was the assumption, and I'm not saying anybody specifically, but the assumption, they'll just take that money and give it to Anthony Rendon, I thought was naive. I would rather just seal up what I got and worry about the next thing later, right? Just the bird in the hand analogy. I would have been more desperate to re-sign Bryce Harper. And again, I look foolish now, but we'll see what happens over the next decade plus.
But it wasn't directly Rendon. They wouldn't have signed Patrick Corbin for $140 million. They've already spent some of that money.
Absolutely. But I guess my view is the idea that they'll just do this, we don't have great precedent for they'll just do it. There's too much that can happen. Guys work really hard to be free agents for whatever reason they want to be free agents, whether they want to go home, whether they want to go to Chicago, whether they want to go to San Francisco. They can do whatever the hell they want. They've earned that right. So just counting it as a done deal that we'll save it and it'll be Anthony Rendon's money, I was kind of was cautious about that. There's no guarantee that this ends up getting done. And I don't know exactly where the holdup happens to be. It sounded like Rendon was very willing. It sounded like the Lerners and the Nationals, by and large, were very willing.
Well, everybody said that with the Harper thing, too.
Exactly. When people say what actually happens, two different things.
Look, very simple. You're not the Oakland Athletics. Spend money on your great players, period. Don't be some small market operating club where it's going to be okay because we've got this 20-year-old we like in the minor leagues. Have the 20-year-old and your cake and eat it too with Anthony Rendon. You want to make the prudent decision not to re-sign Bryce Harper for $330 million?
Totally fine.
Perfect.
Yep.
This is not that. This is different than that. This is a guy that will be the face of your franchise for the next several seasons. This is a guy that you can count on for several years in the field, in your lineup, consistently hitting, a 290 career hitter with power who's only going to continue to get better as he enters now the prime of his career. Figure this out. You got to get this done. And I will say that at the same time as saying the only thing worse than losing him in free agency will be losing him in free agency if you decided not to trade him, because...
Yeah, the Harper plan from last year, that ain't going
to
fly, dude.
You can't do the Harper thing. If they would have made the trade they should have for Bryce to the Astros, I was told last year that among the players that would have come back is Josh James, who threw 100 in the postseason and is pitching out of the Houston bullpen right now. At worst, he'd be a really good reliever for them that they don't have this moment. At best, he'd be your fourth or fifth starter right now, pitching pretty well in the big leagues. You have to trade these guys if you're not re-signing them. Now, my point is, this is a non-starter. This is non-topic. It's a non-debate. Re-sign him now. Mm-hmm. Immediately pay him what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
But if somehow the trade deadline comes and you haven't gotten close to a deal and you now think there's a pretty good chance that you're not going to get a deal done before free agency, that's not debatable either. Flip him for a package of four players, two of which make your major league team better immediately. Scott's in Manassas on Grant and Danny. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Scott.
Morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good, buddy.
So I'm with you, Grant. It's disastrous. I rationalize Harper. I still don't believe he ever truly wanted to stay, even if they made him a fair offer. You know, that's semantics. But if they don't resign Rendon, this is going to look very bad on the Lerners. Two reasons. Face of the franchise, Zimmerman's moving on, young kid, but also all the money they're getting from Masson, so they can't cry that we don't have any cash flow coming in, because they're about to get, what, $70, $80 million coming in? So now they can use that money to bring him in, and I think this needs to be addressed yesterday and get him signed.
Well, I mean, I always bring this up, but the Red Sox blew past the luxury tax last year all the way to the World Series. You know how much money of that they made back? All of it, and then millions and millions on top of it. It's not my money, so it's easy for me to say, oh, the Lerners are very rich. It's their money to spend. But
or not spend.
You got two choices. Don't spend it and go into the season with some question marks and how's that working out for you. Or spend it and try to get a little bit better and get over the luxury tax. And maybe with those home dates in the playoffs, make a lot of that money back. Mike in Gainesville.
Hey, Granddaddy, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I'm right on board with what you guys are saying. Rendon is one of the top bats in the lineup, has been for years. He's a plus defender, a third. And part of us being able to let Harper go is because we had Rendon, because we have Turner. We need to quit screwing around and go ahead and pay this guy. He is, like I said, plus defender, been a consistent bat for years, and he can be the face of the franchise.
What do you make of Boris already getting out there that he thinks the Nats missed the boat on getting a deal done? Because we're now closing in on that time where why would you re-sign if you're Rendon? Because free agency's looming.
When you hire Scott Boris, Scott Boris will walk through the door. In other words, if I had an agent that was here to get deals done and be whisper quiet and that was that, I'd hire that guy. You hired Scott Boris. You're going to get a Scott Boris playbook.
But Rendon says, and he publicly says this. I love this quote from him.
Me
too. He works for me. If I tell him to get a deal done, he'll get a deal done.
But when you deploy Scott Boris to do it, you're going to get Scott Boris techniques. So that deal still, the priority may still be to get a deal done. But this is part of what he's going to do, is to maximize every dollar. There's a reason that most people around baseball hate dealing with the guy, because he does this. He creates leverage. He creates these marketplaces. He doesn't treat it like everybody else. When most agents get an offer, they go, thanks so much, let's counter. He just gives you the silent treatment for 2 weeks. Doesn't tell you whether it's a good offer or a bad offer. And you panic, and you get another offer, and then another one, and another one. And next thing you know, it's $330 million for 13 years in Philadelphia. You hire Scott Boris to do Scott Boris things. That's what he's doing. So, yes, it's designed to instill panic in the other party that's negotiating with you. It all fits.
I think it would be a debacle if they lost Harper and Rendon in the span of two seasons.
Uh-huh.
Just think about that for a second. Step back and think about, you had these two players at their talent level and you chose to pay neither of them. That would be unprecedented. That combination of decisions in that short of a time by a major market ball club, that would be unprecedented. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Kedrick Golston played in D.C. for many years, like we'd like Anthony Rendon to. Should veterans be at OTAs? And how does an injury to a guy like Reuben Foster alter the decision of players in the Redskins locker room when it comes to whether or not they want to show up at these non-mandated events? We'll ask him next on Grant and Danny here on the bench.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.